Hi, welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let's read it together. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the strength, for the endurance to run this race called life. And we thank you that we don't have to do it alone. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Why don't you high five somebody next to you and just tell them, endure, endure, endure. Before I go on, I have to shout out Serve Day happening this weekend, Saturday, July 14th. Whether you are in this room right now or you're watching online, you have a chance to join in showing the love of Jesus Christ to our community. What is Serve Day? I kind of gave you a little spill there of what it was. But what is Serve Day? Serve Day is our opportunity to leave the walls of the church and to go be the church. Because how many of you know there are so many people who they've heard about the love of God, but they will never walk through these doors. Sometimes the only church that they will experience is the church that we take to our community of Columbia. So Serve Day is that time for us to just partner with one another and to partner with local organizations to bring love, to bring life change to this community, to show them about this Jesus that we talk about all the time. You can sign up for Serve Day today. Not right now, not during my message, because I feel like if you pull it out and you open up Safari to go there, you'll also click by that Instagram. And so don't do it right now. But if you take down this website, yourdestiny.serveday.com. And that is your place to sign up. I'm telling you, don't hesitate. Find that place where you're going to serve, where you're going to plug in. And you may be thinking, man, there's so much going on the weekend. There are baseball games, soccer games. There are weddings. One of my good friends, Mr. Patrick Chandler, is getting married this weekend. And before Pat's wedding, what you can do is... go and serve. Go and show the love of Jesus. There are projects happening all day from the top of Saturday to the end of the day. Find a place to plug in, to serve this community and say that, hey, I'm not just going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to show you what he's like. Amen. But we've been in this series. We're in week 5 of our series, Running with the Giants. And what's been happening in this series, in case this is your first time, is that we're running this race that the Bible calls life. We're running this race, and we've learned that we cannot run this race without endurance. But what we've been learning about is that we're not running this race alone. No, we have what the Bible calls a cloud of witnesses rooting us on and cheering us on, saying, you can do it. You can make it. Last week, Pastor Zaire preached about Rahab, and wasn't that amazing? Man, that was just awesome. But we've been learning about how to run. And that reminds me of just all the runners that we have in the room. Any runners in the room? You like to run? You enjoy running? God bless your heart. I do not. When I think of running, I just think, nah. Mm-mm. Not for me. Like the way that my heart starts going and whatnot, it gets bad. It gets ugly. It's not good. But I like lifting weights. I like pumping the iron. Because I like the burn that you feel when you've pumped some iron. And I love, like, I feel the burn. But sometimes I forget that anybody, like, you lift weights and you feel the burn, but you forget that people can't see your burn. It's kind of like, I feel like all cut, like I'm a bodybuilder. Then it's like, oh, it's you again, Trent. Hi. nothing's changed about you. Thank you. But I decided to jump back in to working out. And the way that I decided to go about working out was I pulled out my phone and I jumped onto YouTube just to find some free workouts because, you know, free. And I got started and I got into the cardio and I was just like, no. The way that my heart was pounding, the globs of sweat that were coming from my forehead. And actually in that moment, I was grateful for the lack of accountability. I stopped. And I stopped and I sat on the medicine ball. I was just like, this lady is crazy. I don't know what's wrong with her. And then like my heart's going, I'm just like, no, this ain't it. But as I sat there, I feel like God began speaking to me, and he was like, Trent, this journey of parenthood that you're about to go on, can we give it up for my wife, Diane? 22 weeks, is that what we had? 23, I knew that. God bless the first two services today. 23, we are 23 weeks pregnant, and God spoke to me, and he said, there's no way that you are going to be able to run this race of parenthood if you don't learn how to endure. And he spoke to me. He said that parenthood is not a short-term sprint, but it is a long-distance marathon. And there's no way that you're going to be able to run it without endurance. And so while that was good, and I heard from God, like, yeah, that's real good, but then I started asking questions. Anybody, you still ask questions of God? It's okay. It's good. It's a good thing to do that. And so I asked him the question. I said, endure what? And so I thought of all the different things that one might have to endure. And I started thinking of things like resistance or maybe setbacks or something like that. But then God said this very bad word to me. And he said, you're going to have to learn to endure failure. And I was just like, failure. Now, some of you are in here today, and you're thinking, failure? I don't know nothing about failure. All I do is win, no matter what. And you're just thinking that I'm a winner. I like my kids love me. My spouse loves me. I'm doing pretty good at my job. I don't understand where you're coming from. Like, what failure? I failed a test or two in school, but I'm not a failure. Well, I have something very encouraging to tell you today. And please tell everyone you know once you leave here, look at me. You will fail. Isn't that encouraging? Go home and tweet that. Pastor told me today that I'm gonna fail. I'm never going back there. please come back. It gets better. But you will fail. Whether you have endured a failure, whether you've experienced a failure, or whether or not you're striving towards something, it's just inevitable. It's just kind of what we do. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That all includes you and me. We will all fail. We'll all fall short. And so, going back to the gym, I'd like to tell you that after God spoke to me, that I got up and I finished that workout. But that would be a failure to tell the truth. And so as I got up and went back to my apartment, I feel like I heard one of the giants of the faith stepping down from the stands. And one of those giants is going to speak to us today, and his name is Abraham. Abraham is known commonly as the father of our faith because it was through Abraham that God established his holy nation here on earth. It was through his lineage. It was through his family. But Abraham knew a thing or two about failure. You see, God had promised him that I'm going to establish my nation through your lineage, but Abraham was old and his wife was barren. And so God promised Abraham this great thing, but Abraham didn't see how it was going to happen, so he got out in front of God and said, hey, I'll just make it happen myself. He got tired of waiting on God. Anybody been there? I know that I have. God, you said it. I don't know how you're going to do it, so let me just go out and make it happen myself. And what happened with Abraham is that while he's waiting on this son, or he stopped waiting on this son from God, and he decided, hey, I'll just go outside of my marriage and have a baby. Fail. Not only that, but another fail that Abraham was familiar with was that while he was traveling, he had left the place where he grew up, and he's going to the land of Canaan. And if you don't know, Canaan was actually the same promised land that God took the children of Israel to with Moses. But Abraham's family was supposed to go there first. And Abraham went there, but on his way there, in a stop through Egypt, he actually lied to a king about his wife and said, hey, this is just my sister. Because he was afraid of what would happen to him if they knew that this was his wife, afraid that they would take advantage of her. All the while, he set her up to be very injured and taken advantage of. Thank God, God blocked that from happening. But Abraham knew a thing or two about failure. Now, something that I love about even prepping messages is that I just learn a whole lot. And I learned that Abraham not only had his failures to deal with, but he also had the failures of his family to deal with. Abraham's father's name was Terah. Listen to this in Genesis 11, 31 and 32. It says, one day, Terah took his son Abram, which was Abraham's name before his life was transformed, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child. Make note of that. Terah had Abram and Haran. But Haran is not in the picture anymore. And they moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. Terah was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. I submit to you today that Abraham was not the first to receive that instruction to go to Canaan. It was actually his father. God had spoken to Abraham's father and said, go to this new land that I'm providing for you. But Terah stopped short of that promise. Oddly enough, Haran was not only the name of Terah's son, but it was also the name of the place where they stopped, the place where they dwelled. They were both named Haran. Haran actually passed away. That is a pain that no parent should ever have to experience. It's supposed to be that, you know, I birth you, I raise you, I watch you live, you watch me grow old, I die, you bury me, you tell the family about me. That's the way that it's supposed to be. But sometimes it's just that life fails us. Even when we don't fail, life sometimes fails us. Has anybody been there? I'm doing all the right things. I'm serving. I'm in church. I'm saying the right things. I'm not doing anything dumb. Like, why is this happening to me? And it's a pain that I wish I did not know. But it's a pain that I am unfortunately familiar with, like many in this room. I thank God for the way that my wife is carrying our baby girl, and I cannot wait to meet our baby. We have a name, but we're not telling you. And while that's great, some days it's honestly fearful. Because I remember last year and around the month of August of hearing that heartbeat of our first baby. For the first time, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. It's like, man, I'm gonna be a parent. But I remember coming back a few weeks later, and just the look on the nurses' faces. I said, I'm sorry, we don't hear a heartbeat. And just the pain in that moment. And before it got too painful, I my faith kicked in. Like, no, I'm going to pray and I'm going to lift up, like, Jesus, no, this is not what you called for me. This is not what you said. And we prayed. And I'm telling you, we left that hospital room a little shaken, but like, no, this is not how it is going to end. And we prayed and we fasted and we prayed and we fasted before accepting that our baby is gone. And there's just nothing like that pain. It's enough to make you want to stop right where you are and throw in that towel and just say, God, I don't have any more to give. It's enough to make you pause right there. But I'm telling you, there's something about pain. It has one of two effects. Either you experience it and you stay there, or you're reminded, as the word says, and I don't have the verse in my notes, but it says that God is close to the brokenhearted. Pain has a sort of proximity effect, where we realize that I'm not facing this pain by myself, but God, your presence is here. And God, I feel you urging me, not only saying to go on, but saying that I understand and I hurt with you. My heart hurts with you, but also that, hey, you don't have to stay there. That one day this pain will be a vague memory. You'll never forget that baby. You'll never forget that child. But this pain will hurt a little bit less and a little bit less. And it's going to turn into something that's going to be so glorious and so beautiful. Pain can either cause us to stay where we are or to rise up and to go to another level. Now, some of us, we think like, okay, so you say life has failed me, but no, I need to put a name on it. Who failed me? God, was it you? It's a real question. And the answer is no. It's that we live in a fallen world. That sin has entered the world and just causes some circumstances that honestly, they not just break your heart, but they break the heart of God. That pain sometimes, that the real enemy is the enemy of our souls. The Bible says that we have someone who hates our guts, that he is a liar, that he is a thief, and he wants to steal your hope for the future. But God is saying that I have something so much greater for you, and do not stop here. Do not stop here. Pain can be paralyzing sometimes. And sometimes it's not that life has failed us. Sometimes it's just that, hey, I've failed. And one effect of failure is that we become complacent. It's just that, hey, maybe I didn't do well, and I'm not really looking to do any much better. What is there to strive for anyways? Maybe you're good. Maybe it's not that you're struggling in any way. Maybe your family loves you. You started that blog and it's popular. You got 20 million followers and you didn't even pay anybody. Maybe you're doing good for yourself and you're like, well, what else is there? And I'm here to tell you that there actually is no space between progression and regression. That life is a slippery slope, and either you're climbing that mountain or you are falling down it. Somebody say, prove it. Circuit City. Somebody say, prove it. Blockbuster. Two multi-million dollar companies that stopped striving for more and therefore stopped existing. Listen to this in Philippians 3:14. It says, the goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that even if your goals are something that you can pursue in and of your own strength, then your goals aren't worth having. How many times can I offend you before we start? Trent, you said I'm a fail. You said my goals are trash. Like, who are you? Monster. But in a real way, if there's something that you can do in and of your own strength, they're not worth doing. But yet when I press towards something God has called me to, I realize there's nothing that I can do in and of my own strength. But that's when I realize the power that he has, that even when I fall, the Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times. So I would tell you that if you're not pursuing something and failing, then you're not pursuing anything worth pursuing. And that what if we set our hearts on the things that God has for us? How do I know if it's God? You can't do it. It's too big for you. Complacency or failure can cause us to become complacent. Failure can also cause us to become fearful. That because I failed, I don't know what's gonna change. And I'm not too privy to change. I don't like that too much. And we start asking those what if, or what if I fail? What if I don't do it? What if you do, and what if you learn from it? What if you grow from it? Some of us, failure causes us to become distracted. To become distracted by what it is that we endured. Do you know that Abraham, his father and his whole family, yes, they come from a lineage of faith. They're actually direct descendants of Noah down that line. You know, Noah, who he survived the flood, and he was the only one to build a boat. He says, it's raining. I've never seen rain before, but I'll build a boat. God, you said to build it. It's the same family. But what I learned in this is that family also had problems with idolatry, serving false gods. Listen to this history lesson that Joshua gave in Joshua 24:2. It says, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Some of us, we wouldn't say that I serve other gods or I've I've come from a background of a different religion, or maybe we do. Maybe you come from a family that is of another religion. Or you come from just a place of a lot of different types of backgrounds. But some of us, that distraction could be even our own ambitions. That God, I said this is what I want. I haven't heard you say anything, so I'm going to go ahead and go for it. You down? You got to say no. Boo-boo. I'm not there. Stop. Come back to me. Wait on me. Let's go. Don't be distracted so much by that ambition. But what if you make your ambitions my ambitions? So I believe that Abraham is just going to teach us today, how do I endure failure? How do I deal with this failure? Because what you're telling me, Pastor Trent, is that it's inevitable, is that it's going to happen. So how do I endure it? The first thing that I feel like Abraham is shouting from the stands to us today is to find out why you failed. Find out why you failed. Ask the tough question, what happened here? How did I get here? No one in their right mind likes to fail. It hurts. It's painful. And you feel like a failure. And oftentimes the solution that we think of is to run as far away from it as possible. I don't want nothing to do with that. You're familiar with crime shows like First 48 and Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah? No? Yeah. Okay, good. We're here. So you're familiar with shows like that? And you know, the point of the show is to get down to the bottom of the murder mystery of who done it, why'd they do it, and things like that. But you know, the first question that they normally ask is the person who's dead is, how did they die? And they perform an autopsy to figure out, to get to the bottom of, okay, how did this person die? And what are we looking for? You know, who are we looking for? How'd they do it? How did they die? Did they choke on some bad Kool-Aid? Or they smack with a broomstick? Did they trip over a Lego? Bump their head? How did it happen? And I realized that they have to ask that question because it's very hard to come to a conclusion without asking the question, why did it happen? And for many of us, we struggle with asking ourselves that question because our failure seems so final. That if I look at this, I'm just going to be this failure forever. But let me tell you that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, there is no failure that is final. Your failure is not final. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things, everything, every good thing, every bad thing, every failure, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That means that all things work together for my good, so I might as well face it and say, hey, what happened here? Because what I've learned is the things that I forget to face or the things that I neglect to face, I will repeat it. I'll just do it over again. I'm reminded of one time when my wife and I weren't necessarily seeing eye to eye on a particular subject. So I figured, you know, the mood just isn't right. So let me set the mood. So being the Casanova that I am, I decided, hey, let me set up a date night. We'll go out to a nice restaurant. We'll pay a little bit of extra. You know how like the $2 signs and then the $4 signs? I settled on three because four. But we went out to this place. I figured, hey, this is what's going on. We're going to sit down to a nice dinner. And I'm just going to list out all the things that I feel like are wrong with us. And I expected that to go well. If you only knew the flames that I went down in. Like, it was bad. It was real bad. Like, there was bad. The ride home was rough. It was bad. And the temptation from that moment was to just stop asking questions. Just don't go for it. Like, you'll never find out the right way to ask it. So just stop trying. And for many of us, that's what we've done. And there are marriages that have failed because we've stopped asking the questions. Because we're so afraid of, what if I fail? What if you do? You'll figure it out. You'll learn how to ask it the right way. And you'll go to another place. But we've got to start and keep asking the questions. Keep asking ourselves. Keep asking. So keep looking at the things in life that didn't go well and say, why? Why didn't it go well? Don't be so afraid of it. And I feel like because we're not afraid of it, that Abraham is telling us the second thing. And Abraham is saying to see your failures as victory. What if we learn to see our failures as victory? Some of you are looking at me like, PT. The test said F. That's a fail. It is not a pass. Some of us are looking at the papers and saying the papers are signed. The divorce is final. It's a fail. I got the pink slip. It was looking like a failure. We will fail. But what if we were able to see these failures a little differently? Abraham, he knew about failure. So we mentioned what happened and with that son that he had with his maidservant. And that was not the child of the promise that they had. He had a child with Hagar, and that Hagar was not his wife. Somebody say fail. And so, don't you know that our God still blessed the first son, Ishmael? And he said that he's going to be good. And then when God brought the promise along through Sarah, his wife, God still blessed that child and said that I'm still going to birth a nation through that son. there are some facets of God's goodness that we will not experience unless we learn to look at our failures a little differently. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. And it says, each time he said, this is God speaking, he said, my grace is all you need. Grace comes like a wave crashing. You had to be here. And it says, my power works best in weakness. What I've learned to do is kind of throw the different words in here. So I begin to read that as my power works best in failure. And it began to change some things for me. So it says, so now I am glad to boast about my failures so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my failures and in the insults and in the hardships and persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I fail, then I'm strong. I'm telling you that you're running away from something. That you've seen something as a failure for so long, but some of us, God is doing it in our hearts and in our minds right now in the name of Jesus. You're thinking about that place where you failed and it used to be a place of pain, but now as you look at it, it's kind of like a X marks the spot that God is here. That God is strengthening you in this area. That God has empowered you in this area to go out and to be a change. He's empowered you in this area to go encourage your families. He's empowered you in that area that you used to see as a place to stay away from. And now it's a place where, no, that's a victory. I can win in that area. We're gonna take some time at the end of this message to make an opportunity for those of us who have not given our lives to Christ, to those of us who are holding on to some failures, to give them those failures. But also today, water baptisms are happening after this service. That's a good place to shout. I remember when I had the opportunity to get baptized. And I remember the question being posed to me as, have you been baptized since you believe, since you've given your life to Christ? And the answer was no. And immediately following that, I just began to think of all the reasons why I should not be baptized. I thought about the life I was living, the problems that I had, and just the thoughts of God, you don't want me in that water. Like, I'm gonna contaminate it. Somebody gonna get baptized after me and catch something. Like, I mean, I ain't had nothing, but I don't know. It's going downhill. But God, I don't want to contaminate that water with my sin. I don't want to do that. And as I felt the resistance in my heart, I knew that this is actually a sign that I need to do it. This is actually God telling me to push past that failure, push past that feeling that you can't do it, that you can't fix it. Why? Because you can't. That you can't fix it. There is nothing that you can do to fix your past, to turn those failures into victories. There is nothing except for giving it to Jesus. And in that moment when I decided that, God, I'm gonna be obedient despite the resistance I feel in my heart, I'm telling you, I've experienced the blessings of God like never before. And he is speaking to some of you today to take that next step of water baptism. You've already accepted Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you will at the end of this service. And I'm telling you that there is no time limit to wait until, like, well, no, I'm gonna learn about that. No, it won't. If you've given your life to Christ, you can take that step. And we're ready for you to take that step today. And when you go down in that water, we always say here that there's nothing special about the Columbia tap water that you're baptized in. Well, I believe that there's nothing special. There was something extra not special about the D.C. pool water that I was baptized in. Southwest D.C., Capitol Skyline Hotel. But there was nothing like being obedient to God and taking that step. And he wants to do that to you today, for you today, and turn those failures into victories. The last thing that I feel like Abraham is shouting from the stands as we run this race, He's saying to fail to remember. Fail to remember. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we fail or after we fail is learn how to have a short-term memory. To let it go. To not look at it for so long. You know, athletes, they watch film and they watch for what they can change, what they can do better, what they can do right. But you know, after they watch it for a certain amount of hours, they don't look at that same game. They don't look at that same film again. There's no need to keep replaying what has already passed. I believe some of us heard that in our spirits just now. You're seeing that failure. You're seeing that defeat. You're seeing that place where you came up short. And God is saying there is no reason to keep replaying that moment. That is, it's over. You've looked at it. Or maybe there's some that we need to go back and ask, hey, why did I fail here? Why didn't it work out? Hey, that's actually a stepping stone to victory. But then he's saying to give it to me and you forget about it. In Psalms 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our failures. He's removed them from us. Geography buffs, how far is the east is? How far is the east from the west? The answer is, you can't measure it. They don't touch. They are forever running away from one another. I'm here to tell you today that your past, your failures are running away from you. They're running in the opposite direction. But what we do so often is we chase after them. And we coddle them. And we try to catch up with them. And we set up our lives around these failures in our lives. We set up our lives around it and we call it our personality. It's just who I am. I'm just like this. I'm just shy. I don't talk to people. I just have a short fuse. And we set up our entire lives around these things that God has moved so far from us. And we're so afraid of the past when if we really look back, we would see goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. Goodness is chasing you down. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I'm telling you that your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead. Your best days are ahead. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's so many things that are coming to mind for so many people in this room and even those watching online. So many memories of failure, so many memories of things that did not go well. And God, we're tired of replaying those things. And God, some of the things we've looked at and we know why they happened. Some of the things, sometimes life just happened to us, God, and we just in this moment want to give it to you. Hand it over to you, Lord God. Whether it was our failure or whether it was life failing us, Lord God, we give it over to you. And we're asking you, Lord God, to in turn give us, Lord God, a future, Lord God. Lord God, that no eye has seen, that no ear has heard, that no heart, that no mind can even comprehend. Because that's what you're able to do. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me?
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.